Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. A lot of great things to talk to you about today, but let me give you our address before we get started. It's Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. You can also email me, david@revmedianetwork.com. If you haven't seen the new videos that we've made for the healing ministry and for the kids, I really recommend you to go to davidyanezministries.com. Again, that is davidyanezministries.com. And if you go there, you're going to really enjoy them. They're posted in there on the front. I think one of them's on the front page, maybe on the mission side of it, and the other one's on the Rev Life part of it, the children's ministry. If you go there, you're going to be really blessed. We've been getting a lot of people giving us good comments about it, and they've all enjoyed it, and I really believe God's going to use those videos. Today's guest on the second segment, Mr. Phil Brasfield, and he is a returning guest. We had him last year. I don't know what exact date we had him. I think it was in May. We had him last year, and we are excited to have him again on the broadcast. We're going to be talking about his book and From Pilgrimage to Pentecost. So I hope you enjoy it and hope it is a blessing to you. And praise God. So he'll be on the second segment. We'll have him there. And I hope it's a good thing for it. And it's amazing. The last couple of weeks I have been working on books. We're going to have probably 10 new books added to the our arsenal, our book things together, our book publishing ministry. We're gonna have probably about 10 more books, and that's gonna be a blessing. That's gonna be able to take the word of God out there. Don't ever. And I was with a good friend this past weekend, just helping him get a studio set up, and his spiritual father was there, and we talked a few minutes about what he was getting ready, a book and everything. And I tell you, I told him, don't ever underestimate the power of books. Don't ever underestimate it, the written word, because we all look at the written word of God. But the power of books and ministering and touching people's lives, it is a good thing. It is a good thing to have. So we're going to add 10 more into our arsenal of ministering. I don't know what total that is. I think we're totaling what, at 20. They're doing a count for me. I think 20-something, 26 books possibly. And we're gonna see that happen. It's going to be beautiful. We have books from Gary Wood. We have Frank Mazzapica's new book. I told you last week on the show, The Unsupervised Man, Unsupervised Woman, is ready for orders and is in Amazon and Books a Million and different places. In fact, I have to get some of the ebook done on it, and probably tomorrow get that finished up for him so we can have it ready for the final release that we're doing. And it's amazing. But there's going to be a bigger story coming up after the ICRS, which is next week in June 24th, I think, through the 26th, or 23rd to the 26th. There is another announcement we'll make when we get back. We're going to make that announcement. We're going to make you just go crazy with what we're going to announce. It's going to be amazing because God knows your dreams. Amen. You know, this last month, we've been doing a lot more video as well. Really concentrating on getting the video out. Really concentrating on getting just the things out that we need as far as video production. There's a couple equipment that we need. I want you to pray about it and ask God to direct you. But we are going to present you the need. We need about $1,500 more to continue to build the TV studio set that we currently have. So I want you to believe and pray for us for that. But then we also need about $12,000 to finish the HD studio that we're working on. But, you know, we work with what we got. So I'm not going to move all the DV out and just bring HD in. We're going to use a different system for Midwatch and a different system for the HD studio. Reason being is that I can be a blessing to those that have much and those that have little to do the production. I can show you two or three different ways to make a quality production, a quality broadcast, a quality internet broadcast, a high quality broadcast for television, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. You know, just I can go all day talking about that, but it's using what's in front of you, just learning just how to do it just a little bit different, and figuring out how to be a blessing with the stuff that you have. So, with that said, we are finishing some production tonight. We have four shows we're going to shoot in one night. And I tell you this, my sons have been real, real faithful and very, very professional in getting the broadcasts ready for us as we broadcast. They're my switchers on the control deck. They're my producers on the program. They're my floor supervisors. And they've done great. They've done really good things for us. And we're a blessing. I mean, they're a blessing to us because they have been able to jump in when I had someone I was training here and they just didn't. You got to care. It's like any job you put together and you work, you have to care. You have to genuinely care about what's going on. If you don't care about it, it's not going to be a blessing to you. If you don't care about it, it's not going to be important to you. And you've got to care about what you're doing. You can't just think, oh, well, I'll show up when I want to show up. I'll do what I want to do. If you want to succeed in faith, if you want to succeed in ministry, you've got to care about it. You've got to care about every little detail. Reading just a short book downstairs before I came up into the studio, I got some new books for the new ICRS shows that we're going to be doing out there. This next 2 weeks, we'll be out in the ICRS, taking the whole family to St. Louis with me, and we're gonna be at a resort and let them have their fun while I'm out there laboring. It's a joy to labor. It's a joy to shake hands and do some video and audio with these guys. And I was reading one of the books, and I forget the name, the main title of it, but it's about about making everything important, that there's no small things in God's kingdom. And they highlight a story about King David, never took the small things for granted. And I just read, I believe it was chapter 12, and it was talking about David, and even just with the little sheep. As small as they were, he fought a lion and a bear to take care of the smallest things. He could have simply let them go, but he fought it. Now, I hadn't read the whole chapter, just browsed it through, and it really inspired me to think about that. You know, I thought about this before coming on the air as well. I was just walking in my knees are beat up from many years of soccer and basketball and other sports as well, but mainly those two. And I'm walking and my ankles are a little twisted here and there because of just running. And I just did my yoga this morning. So I like it. Yoga's pretty good. And I use DDTP yoga. DDP, Diamond Dallas Page Yoga. And it's pretty good. They just basically put men names on the thing so you don't feel as bad doing them. That's really it. But it's been a workout. And when I'm walking, I'm thinking about a marathon runners. And no matter if you're the fastest runner, praise God, no matter if you're the slowest runner, the point is to finish the race. And I'm thinking about my ministry. I'm thinking about the things we need to do in broadcasting and TV and healing ministry and publishing. My mind's always thinking on those things and always praying. My mind always stays with God in prayer. And I'm thinking about these things. I'm saying, Lord, I know I'm going to get this. And the scripture pops in my mind, and we all know it, you know, that you should finish the race. You should finish the race. He that finishes the race. And I'm thinking, you know, I can probably pull that up for us. And it just popped to me that no matter how long the race is, no matter what we've done in life, no matter how far we've gone, and we need to just finish the race. Praise God. We need to finish the race. Finishing the race. It doesn't matter if we're first place, as long as you give it your best effort. And, you know, it's just having the attitude of just finishing what's in front of you. And I looked at everything I'm doing. And sometimes it's not a sprint, praise God. It is a marathon. And I really think that that's ministry. And really just what we have to do and how we have to get things done is never a sprint. Sometimes activities make you feel like you're in a sprint, but you've been in a ministry for a long time. You've been waiting for a while. It's a pattern. It's a a weight. It's a walk. It's a way of living that you have to learn when you come to God to see the things happen at the end. I wish, praise God, I wish that it was that I could finish this thing quickly, praise God, and get to the end and see all the reward. But at times, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen that way. And you just got to trust God that there is a way, praise God, there is a way that we're going to see that end, that race end eventually. And we're going to see everything that we need. I can't find the scripture right now. If my pastor was up here, I would say, "Pastor, give me the scripture. Give it to me now." And he would tell me right away because he just knows the word so well. And I do too. But when you're on the air and you're talking, it is not a time to try to figure out where. Here it goes. 2 Timothy 4:7. Can we write that down? "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Praise God. That is something that we all have to put together when we're doing the ministry. And you can tell I'm texting. We all got to do it. We all got to do it. And then here's another scripture. Acts 21:7. And we have finished our course. Praise God. We have finished our course. Romans 9:28. "For he will finish the work, cut in short and righteous, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth." Praise the Lord. So you know what? There is a whole part of life that you will view and that you will see and that you will need to understand that there will be times when you got to endure. Praise God. Where you have to just look at it and say, "I'm going to get through this." But I want to tell you about another part of it is when you're getting through it and you can see that finish line and you can see, "I'm there. I'm almost there." That is what I'm feeling right now in my faith. Praise God. That is what I'm feeling in my heart right now. I'm feeling that I am near. Can we say near? Can everybody say near? I am feeling that we are near, that we're almost there, that God has a great thing on the horizon. And I tell you, I can feel it. I can smell it. The other day I was driving and I was thinking of when Elijah looked up and said, "It's not in the clouds. It's not in the wind. It's something's there." And he can see the movement of God. And then he says, "Now I see a small fist, and it looks like it's a cloud that looks like the man in the hands of a man. It's so small." But you see, before that, he was like, "I can see it. I can sense it." You ever smell rain? You can just smell it before it hits, before it even gets there. You can smell the rain coming. And I tell you, that's what I can see. I can see the rain coming, that the Lord, the latter rain that God has promised. I can smell it. I can sense it with all my being that we are on course. We are going to finish this race. And I'm encouraging you that you're going to finish it too. That there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Praise God. That was for someone out there. That nothing will move you. You are living in an unstoppable kingdom. You are living in a threatening force of faith. You are walking in a world that you cannot be destroyed, because even if your earthly body is taken, even if you've lost it all and there's nothing in front of you, they can't take what is in you, and that is the Spirit of God. Your soul goes to heaven. No weapon formed against you shall ever prosper against that soul. You will live. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? Is what the Word of God says. And I tell you, that is something that you have to put together, something that you have to hold on for yourself. And even when it looks doom and gloom and it comes to your life and it comes and attacks you, you got to pick your head up. You got to smile. You got to say, "God, I will get this victory. I will get it." And it's only you, my friends. I'm telling you something that I have learned. And I have learned monthly. I've learned daily. I have walked it. And I have said, "God, only you can bring the blessing I need today. Not man. Not promises. Not patterns or this is what usually comes into the ministry at this time." Don't ever budget off of that, my friends. Budget off the Most High God and say, "God, I know you will provide. I know you will bring it forward. There's no doubt in my heart, my mind, my spirit that we can see the greatness of God come in and do the things that it needs to be done. I truly believe that you will see the victory in Jesus in your life. There's many times you can tell I'm an old Pentecostal preacher. Praise God. You can tell that I just love the Lord and I love people. But most of all, I really know that God's put me in your life for this moment to encourage you. To encourage you that there are greater days ahead for you. And not only that, but to know that there is a real God that is greater than anything. Anything that is coming against you. And you have to believe and trust in him. And when you do that, when you truly believe and trust in God, there will be victory at your doorsteps, my friend. I really believe that. I trust in that. And I really believe that God is going to bless you as he has blessed and touched our life as well. And we're going to be right back. We're going to have Mr. Phil Brassfield. We're going to be talking about his book and talk about what he's been doing since the last year that we've talked to him and see what God's doing in his life. I love you, my friends. We'll be right back. God bless. Here's Mrs. Terry Squires on One Impact.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
Ever feel like an outsider? That God could never use you to reach others because you've made so many mistakes in your life? Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will change your life and the lives around you. You know, there has been many times, I hate to admit, as I've read through the Bible, I skimmed over certain passages. You know those ones I'm talking about. The ones that list all those names that I can't pronounce and I'll never remember. But as I was studying the book of Matthew, I decided to read the genealogy leading to Christ a little bit slower and with a little bit more interest. And then something caught my eye. Do you know that there were only 5 women listed leading to Jesus? Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. And I stopped for a few moments and I thought about these women. They were all considered outsiders. Tamar tricked her father-in-law by hiding her identity and pretending she was a prostitute, became pregnant with his twins, and then he almost had her killed thinking she had disgraced the family name due to her pregnancy. But then she revealed to him that he was the father of her babies. Rahab was a prostitute who heard about the one true God, hid the 2 spies sent by Joshua to check out the city of Jericho, and in return, she and her family were saved. Ruth was from Moab. She wasn't an Israelite, but she married the son of Naomi, and after his death, followed her mother-in-law back to Bethlehem, and then became the wife of Boaz. Bathsheba is the woman who had an affair with King David and became pregnant with a son, and that was just the beginning of their scandal. And then there was Mary, and we all know that story. She was the young virgin woman who was chosen to become the mother of our Savior. But how was Joseph ever going to explain the situation? These 5 women leading to the birth of our Savior were listed for a reason. They too had a past, but God chose them to do great things, to impact the lives around them. Do you have something in your past or maybe something going on today that you wish would just go away? How are you ever going to explain it? Is there something holding you back, telling you that you are not worthy of God's love? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." It's sometimes hard for us to let go of our past, but I have good news for you. Jesus has. He has wiped away our sins, and he has made a clean slate. And with that, we can leave all of our insecurities behind as we trust him and boldly love others for his glory. You too have a great calling on your life, a life that will bring honor and glory to God, a life that will share His love with others. Let go of those things in your past that bring you down. They have been forgiven and they have been forgotten. God has listed your name too, just like He listed the names of the five women. And if you're a guy listening to me today, He hasn't forgotten about you either. He's waiting for you to change the lives around you and make a difference. You might think you're an outsider, but listen to this. You are in God's inner circle. How cool is that? I'm so glad you spent 5 minutes with me today, and I hope you join me next week. I'd love to hear from you. So if you have any questions or comments, shoot me an email at www.oneimpactbible.com. And until next time, I'm Terry Squires. Make your one impact by sharing God's love.
Stop right there, young man. Are your hands clean? Crazy as it sounds, researchers have been lurking in public restrooms, spying on people to make sure they wash their hands after using the facilities. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll be back in a moment to share their findings.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
Researchers recently staked out public restrooms in 4 U.S. cities and found that only 15% of us failed to wash our hands before leaving. That's not bad compared to 2007, when nearly a quarter of people failed to address their hand hygiene. Women were the cleaner sex, with 93% washing up, compared to just 77% of men. While those statistics could use some improvement, I found the thought of people spending hours in dirty bathrooms watching and waiting while the rest of us go about our business downright bizarre. Yes, it's important to wash your hands before leaving the bathroom because it helps prevent the spread of disease, not because the bathroom police are watching. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Family expert Trace Embry with insight for today's culture.
Welcome back to the show, and we got our next guest, Mr. Phil Bradsfield. How are you doing, Brother Phil?
I'm doing great. David, how are you?
I'm good. We're excited to get you on the air. And we had you last year, and we're really excited to get you back again.
Yeah, well, thank you. I'm delighted to be back.
So what's been going on the last year? I mean, I know it's been a year, so how's your book been received?
We'd always like to sell more books, but, you know, it's been well received. We've had a lot of interest and a lot of coverage on the book. And as a matter of fact, it's being used in a new movie that's coming out. The producers of, at least the folks that did or worked with the Left Behind series, produced a new movie called A Long Way Off. And it's a contemporary remake of the Prodigal Son story. And it's about a Jewish family who has a son that's gone astray. And it opens during the Feast of Passover, and during the Feast of Pentecost, the family becomes messianic, and they use the book in the process of that particular feast. Of course, the book is called Pilgrimage to Pentecost, and so that's an exciting development, and it's scheduled for release in September. It'll be in the movie theaters, and so people who
awesome. So how do they find out about your book? I mean,
it happened to be my publicist also did publicity for them and just kind of made the connections, and the subject matter of my book fit into the storyline of the movie, and so wound up using it, and we're excited about that. So
awesome!
People who watch the movie will see the book. And say, I heard that guy on the radio.
Hey man, you know that's awesome because you get a film credit now. You're on that opens doors. that's awesome,
sure,
and stuff.
Sure.
So tell us.
So it's been a good year. You know, God's blessed, and the book. You know, I think it's one of those books that, you know, has a longer shelf life than some. I think a lot of times people say about 6 months on a book, but because of the subject matter and because it's set around a feast that's reoccurring that happens every year, and an experience of the birth of the church that most Christians celebrate annually. It kind of gives the book new life every year about this time.
Oh, amen, amen. So tell us some of the testimonies that people have read the book.
Well, you know, I think again and again people talk about the fact that they saw their life in the book. I mean, that the book was not just about a historical event, but the storyline, the way it's laid out and the way I approach the subject allows them to see themselves. You know, for example, in the book we talk about the discovering the passion, purpose, and power of your destiny is the subtitle of the book. And, you know, we begin with this idea that God has a pre-planned place, a pre-planned design for our lives, and then his determination becomes our discovery. So as we're living our life and going through the events of our life, we realize that we are discovering that plan God has for us, and that God has the ability to take the difficult moments of our life and reconcile them as part of the catalyst leading us toward that purpose. And you know, who can't relate to going to the Garden of Gethsemane? One of the chapters in the book is called Decisions in the Garden. And I write about Jesus' decision that fateful night that he was betrayed, where he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And he was betrayed by a friend, abandoned by the rest, and alone with his decision as to whether to do things his way or God's way. And in surrendering to God's will and plan, you know, he drank that cup we talk about from the garden. And, of course, you know, ultimately God's will was done. But I've been to that garden.
Amen.
And I think most of the people who've read my book can identify with that moment where what happens when you do the right thing and it costs you everything, you know.
Amen.
You know, you can get messed up in the garden. You know, you can get messed up. You know, and I think
you
people
can
relate to that.
You
yeah,
can.
So the testimonies I'm hearing, you know, are by people who say, "Man, I read that chapter and that was so my life. That was so much me. You know, I've experienced that." Or you know, then he goes to the courtroom, the palace of Caiaphas, you know, the religious people who should have been celebrating the fact that the Messiah had come, and instead of celebrating, they had a word of accusation, you know. And I think most of us know what it's like to be accused or maligned by people who should be on our side.
Amen.
You know, who should be celebrating what God's doing in our life, and instead of a word of encouragement, they have a word of accusation.
Amen. Bishop Randy Clark from Triumph Church wrote, "A pilgrimage to Pentecost inspired me to study the Scripture more thoroughly and to pursue with God with greater fervency." You know, Bishop is really well known here in Houston, at least I know for sure. And that's really high praise from him, and that's amazing. So when you read the book, you're gonna want to study more.
Well, hopefully. I mean, I think that, again, one of the other takeaways from the storyline is just that there's more there that meets the eye. You know, we tend to read the Scripture on a surface level, mm-hmm. and it says what it says, but, you know, I kind of break down the day of Pentecost, talk about the history of it, and get the story behind the story, and I think that's what Bishop Clark was referring to, the fact that there's, you know, that motivates people to study deeper and not just read it and be shallow with it, but dig into the depths of what's there. What's the Jewish customs and tradition? What was the context, and what did the author have in mind, you know, when he penned that? You know, that's always been a passion of mine.
Amen. Now, what gave you the inspiration to write this book?
Well, you know, being raised, I've been raised in full gospel and Pentecostal circles all my life, and I just felt like there was more to the day of Pentecost than what I'd traditionally been taught. Mm-hmm. You know, we always made it about the power experience of 120 in the upper room, and it seemed to me that there was a bigger, a grander plan and design that was going on in the mind of God than just the power, charismatic experience of those 120 people. So the first chapter of the book is entitled The Where Answers the Why, where I actually argue that the Holy Spirit fell in the outer court of the temple and not the upper room. And I explain that. So you know, I was just inspired by the story. I love the passion of the Christ. And I think another thing that I would say is a lot of times I think there's been a disconnect between the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord and the day of Pentecost. And I see them as one, as separate components of one journey. The redemptive journey that traveled through Calvary was going someplace, and it was going to the day of Pentecost when the church was born. For example, if we make redemption just about the cross, only about the cross, and I don't mean to do anything to disrespect the centrality of the cross, but if we make it just about the cross, then it's like saying to a pregnant woman that the purpose of the pregnancy was the labor. I mean, every pregnant mom knows that she endures the labor to get the baby.
That's a good point.
And so consequently, Jesus, the Bible says, endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And I think that joy was realized on the day of Pentecost when the thing he died for was born, and that was the church. You know, he died for the sins of the world, no doubt, but he intended to produce a bride, and that bride was born on the day of Pentecost. So really the book deals with the subject that those things are all connected. You know, they have their place and they serve a purpose, and they are all stops on the road to destiny.
Amen, amen. So the average reader that just probably just goes through his Bible here and there and doesn't really jump in the scriptures, you think this will encourage them?
I think so. I think what hopefully it will do is help seam the story together for them so that they'll see again this story as a big story and not just a lot of unrelated topics and a lot of unrelated events. That each one of these events that we read in the Gospels had a purpose, and that purpose, God was leading us toward his, first of all, purpose in the church, but then for his, in his purpose in us as individuals, because the church is just a collection of believers, and so we all have a purpose individually, and as we experience that purpose that is about a journey that we're on, then the church is collectively experiencing its purpose. So it's the reader will see themselves both as individuals in the book, but also see the collective story of the church.
Amen. Well, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background in ministry and what you've been up to before you even put this book out there.
Sure. I was raised by a pastor. My dad pastored for 50 years, my granddad 60 before him. So ministry had been in our life all of our lives, and from a very young age I felt that call of God to kind of follow in their footsteps, I guess you would say. So went to school, Bible school, you know, the traditional type route, but began ministry early on. I've been now 30. Well, we just had our annual conference this last week, and I mentioned at the conference that I held my first revival meeting 34 years ago, and I'm 50. So at 16, I had my first revival meeting, and the pastor and his wife that were there when I held that revival meeting were actually at our conference this year. And so for 35 years almost, I've been in and around ministry and trying to do it as an individual, had my own ministry type thing. 20 years I've been traveling on the road. I've served a couple of different colleges. One is vice president, another is president, and serve on the Board of Regents now at Ecclesia College in Northwest Arkansas, which is a great school. So education's a big part of our ministry. We have a church and ministers network called the Destiny Church and Ministers Network. We have a leadership institute called Destiny Leadership Institute. And people can visit all of those ministries online. Our website is www.destinyvisioncenter.com. Or they can simply go to my personal website, philbrassfield.com, and link to all of those other sites. But God's blessed. He's allowed us to travel on four or five different continents and an awful lot of countries, sharing the good news of his love for all humanity and then working with leaders to equip them to be what God's called them to be.
Amen. I see you as a launcher. You're launching other ministers out there as well. And
we try to do that. I mean, that's our goal, you know. Again, the word destiny, our ministry title is destiny. It's not my destiny, it's others. I mean, as we help people realize their purpose and their destiny, then we experience our own.
That's what, and that's what we need. We need more people like that. We need more people that wants to see others succeed as well, and out there doing the work of the Lord, because there's so much work to get done. And true love, you know, the definition I see of true love is when someone is excited about your success and they're not disappointed, or they're not jealous, and they're not wanting it, and they just want to see you succeed. And that's when you have a true father and son relationship in ministry, where you're able to see.
Well, that's our goal. I mean, we really do want to see people be what God's called them to be. That's our heart in ministry, and we want to be less self-focused and more others-focused and really more Christ-focused, Christ-centered. And if we do that, if we focus on Jesus, then we're going to love other people. I mean, Jesus says that the law and the prophets hinge on loving God with all of our heart and our neighbor as ourself, and that in and of itself is the totality of the gospel and the Old Testament.
Amen, amen. Tell us some more things that the readers can expect from your book.
Well, you know, I trust that they're going to enjoy the historical nature of the book, because not only have I tried to write about a theme, kind of a topical theme, but also embed the history and the geography. We talk about the land of Israel. We talk about specific locations. For example, one chapter is entitled The Road to Caesarea Philippi, and I talk about the day that Jesus and his disciples were on the road to Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus asked that fateful question, "Who do men say that I am?" And, of course, there was a variety of opinions in his team, but then Peter says, "I know who you are. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." It was on the road to a particular location, which is situated in northern Israel, along what would today be the Lebanese border, the Lebanese and Syrian border, kind of at the foothills of Mount Hermon, which is the second highest peak in the Middle East. And with its snowy caps and mountaintops, the headwaters of the Jordan River flow there. And so we talk about those kinds of things, about some history and some geography, and all in the context of this journey that God is leading through his redemptive movement toward the day of Pentecost. And so there's a lot happening in that chapter, but, you know, I think when the reader gets into it, they're going to realize that, they're going to learn some things about the land, the history, the customs of the Jews in the first century. We try to couch the story and set it in the context of good history and good research, and I think the reader's going to enjoy that.
Now, did you go to the Holy Land to look at some of these spots before you wrote the book?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I have. I've been a number of times, but we also did some research and shot some video on location in some of these spots, and where I explained the story of the chapter, on video. And I love Israel. As a matter of fact, we're going back in February of 2014, and so it's going to be a lot of fun. We try to go as often as possible.
Now, is there anything that surprised you when you're writing the book that you didn't know?
You know, I don't think so, but I did learn some things, some particular details. For example, you know, when people say, "Well, what makes you think that the Holy Spirit fell or was poured out in the outer court of the temple instead of the upper room?" Well, for example, in chapter 2 of Acts, when the scripture says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. And there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the house where they were sitting." Most people say, "Well, see, that's a house, that's not the temple." But actually the word in the Greek and the Hebrew is used often to refer to the great house, or to the house as being the temple of God. And as a matter of fact, in this particular context, when the word house is used in a feminine gender, In the original language, it's almost always a private dwelling. When it's used in the masculine gender, it's almost always the temple. And in that particular passage, it's used in the masculine gender. So there were a few evidences that came on my radar that really supported the idea. And I think the second thing I would say about that is, when people say, "Why would 3,000 people got saved and were baptized? How did they baptize all those people?" Well, I was just there this last February, and they've excavated that part of the Temple Mount that would have been where the ritual baptismal pools were there. And there were over 50 of those ritual pools that were carved into the stone that were consistent with the first century. So there were 50 baptismal pools going on that day that Peter baptized all those people, and no doubt the apostles helped him. Well, there were 50 different pools being used to baptize those 3,000 people, and it was right there at the outer court of the temple.
Wow, that's amazing. These are some awesome facts and stuff for this. So how's it been received from other ministers as well? We know that Bishop Randy Clark loves it, and I'm sure other ones love it. Did any of them give you any insight on what they thought?
Yeah, I mean, we have a number of endorsers, who have done that, and we're very grateful for that. And, I think generally across denominational lines, it's been accepted and appreciated. I was just looking here at some of the endorsements. The president of Ecclesia College says, Dr. Brassfield delivers a life-changing message for those who will drink in and apply the truths revealed in this book. Understanding is here to be found for the discerning and the hungry. Charles Green, who is a well-known charismatic leader and was known, probably most associated with Oral Roberts University, talks about similar things, that I'm so happy about this book. Many people, ministers included, know little about their real destiny and what it takes to get there. I feel it's a great book that will show us about the journey to destiny, the outpouring of Pentecost for Israel and the church, and how it affects each of our lives. And so, I think people have generally have responded well, and at least we haven't had any real negative input yet, and hopefully we won't. But
when was the book released? When was it released?
It was released Palm Sunday of 2012.
Palm Sunday. What day would that be then?
That would have been a Sunday. I'm trying to remember the exact date that was last year. I'd have to get my calendar out and see. But
okay. But
it would have been the Sunday before Easter last year. And then we've went on a tour, nationwide tour, and have had a lot of fun with that, and a lot of book signing get-togethers, and it's been a great experience. Great experience.
Amen. So what's next? I mean, are you going to write chapter two, or book two, or
well,
is
no,
there something else?
I'm working on the second book right now, and so we're hoping to get it out sometime next year, and it's the working title. I don't, as titles go, these things don't always survive. But
true.
The working title is Living in the Why in a What World, and it's all about why. And I believe that people often get caught up with what they're doing instead of why they're doing it. And so it's all a book about, defining the why in your life and living out of the why instead of the what.
Oh, wow. That sounds interesting as well. That sounds interesting
well. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy writing, and hopefully people enjoy reading, and that makes for a good combination.
Oh, absolutely. So is there any ministry events coming up soon?
Yeah, we just finished our annual conference, as I mentioned, last week, and so I'll be back out on the road. The summer's kind of a time that we recharge and refuel the batteries and recharge the batteries, and then typically in mid-August we start, and we'll do a tour again, working through the churches that I do provide oversight for about 40 churches, and so
okay.
I'll be working in those churches this fall and visiting them, and so I see people out on the road, and they can visit philbrassfield.com and get a glimpse of the itinerary and come out and join us in a service. The church is listed and identified, and we'd love to have them come out and hook up with us on the road.
Amen. Well, give us your contact information again, your websites and stuff that you want to give to the listeners.
Sure. Thank you. The website is www.philbrassfield.com, philbrassfield.com. And they can also visit our ministry flagship site at www.destinyvisioncenter.com, destinyvisioncenter.com. And they can find out information about us and about what we do in ministry, our missions arm. We have an awesome missions ministry and outreach, and so we just love to hook up with other believers and try to all of us together do what God's called us to do.
Amen. Well, I really appreciate you being on the air with us, my brother. I'm going to ask if you can send me a copy of your book. I didn't get it the last time. I want to make sure I bug
okay.
you this time. I'll call your okay. receptionist when we're done and give her my address. So
that's awesome. We'll get one right out to you. Sorry
okay.
about that.
No, that don't worry.
Thanks.
I don't mean
Thanks
to call you out on the air.
But. No, that's all right. Thanks for the opportunity, David. And I love Houston. We love the Houston area, and get down there several times a year. And so hopefully we can hook up with your listeners when
absolutely.
I'm there.
Absolutely, absolutely. Whenever you want to come in the studio, we'd love to have you. We'll have even more fun. So. Well, God bless you,
all
brother.
Right.
Keep in contact,
you,
please. Let us know when
so
you're out
much.
Here. All right,
you
God
bet.
Bless.
God bless.
Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Amen. That was Brother Phil Brassfield, and we had a excellent, excellent interview with him. And he is just, it's always good to have him back a second time because we're growing together. Praise God. You know, we're understanding each other. We're seeing where we can help more. And he's grown over the year. He's actually going to be in a movie. His book's in a movie. Hey, I don't know many books that I've interviewed this last year, even this year, that are going to be part of the storyline of a movie. But this one is. From Pilgrimage to Pentecost. And that's an amazing story that it's going to be part of the movie A Long Way Off. And you'll be able to see that in September. Of course, we're going to be interviewing people from that show in August before the September release. And we'll be able to plug in Phil's book one more time during that as well. So if you want to visit his websites, please do. Please go there. It's DestinyVisionCenter.com and PhilBrasfield.com. So both those websites. His flagship is DestinyVisionCenter.com, and then his personal website is PhilBrasfield.com. And he sounds like a good family man, a man that just loves people. And I can sense in him that he just launches people. And like he said, I didn't know he overseen 40 churches. So he's already launching people and stuff. So that's the kind of people that you want to be associated with, and you want to see people like that and just fellowship with them. You know, just fellowship with them and see what God does. We'll see you next time on the Midwatch. I won't be on the air live for a couple of weeks because we'll be in the ICRS. And the next week, our shows were canceled we had the postponement on a couple of shows that we were waiting for. But we're able to move those into July. But you'll have plenty of great guests on the air, and you'll be able to hear us talking of the past year, a couple of shows that we have plugged in for our Tuesday and Thursday live segments. Anyway, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. Our email address is david@revmedianetwork.com. Write me, Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. God bless you. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. I'd like to thank our guest, Phil Brasfield, for being a part of our broadcast. And we'll catch you next time on the Midwatch.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its hosts.